Dear brothers and sisters, today we will look at the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Whether they are believers or unbelievers, many people pride themselves on not lying. But the reality is that most of us engage in deceptions, both big and small. Just as fine dust or stains that are hardly seen in darkness become visible in bright light, most people are found bearing false witness in the eyes of God, who is the truth itself. I encourage you to examine as to whether you have any falsehoods through the Word. By doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord's name that you will be recognized as children of light, free from any falsehood in the presence of God. Firstly, bearing false witness means stating something that is untrue, claiming that an action was taken when it wasn't, or vice versa. The harmfulness of false witness is particularly evident in court, where a witness's words can directly affect the verdict. A false witness can cause an innocent person to suffer a huge loss or even endanger their life. God emphasizes that both the witness and those who make judgments be vigilant. The Bible states, "A single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of the two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed." We should not condemn others based solely on one person's words. It's important to listen to multiple perspectives and discern the truth. Verses 16 through 20 specify the punishment for false witness. "Then you shall do to him just as he has intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you." Namely, false witnesses should face the punishment intended for the victim. This command against false witness is not limited to just formal situations. As children of the Holy God, we must also eliminate even small lies from our daily lives. You hear about the word not bearing false witness against neighbors. You shouldn't just think about the court, but in your everyday life, you have to check whether you do harm to others because of your lies. This falls under the category of bearing false witness. When God says that when you do harm to others, you face the even though it feels like you are not suffering any harm, but spiritually, such trials and tribulations will come upon you. You have to know that. Even minor falsehoods are still untruth, though they don't cause serious damage. Sometimes, remaining silent in situations where the truth should be spoken can be a form of falsehood, even if you don't directly lie. For example, when someone else is wrongly accused for your mistakes, if you don't speak up out of fear, you cannot proudly say, "I'm not a liar." Also, let's say someone committed a fault and he's being rebuked, but actually it's not his fault, but on someone else's fault. But that person was being rebuked for another person's fault. But you are closer to the person who actually committed a fault. Because of that reason, you don't tell the truth. Even though that person was being rebuked unfairly, you keep silent. This is also bearing false witness. Why? You are seeking your own benefits. You are taking sides with people whom benefits you. You are telling lies for that person. You have to check whether you also have such areas in your life and make sure you don't have such lies at all. For example, also, let's say you purchase an item and the clerk makes a mistake and gives you extra change. And let's say you also find out that you didn't pay the proper price. So what should you do? You have to give the money back and you have to tell the truth to the clerk and you have to pay the proper price. But if you just receive it out of greed, this is not honest as well. Last week, we talked about the stealing, and thankfully, many people confessed that they, I realized myself through the message, I discovered my stealing, and many people have confessed that. I was very thankful to hear that. They didn't just neglect the message they heard, and they didn't think that, oh, this is not a big deal. But if they have done so, I didn't feel good. But many people look at themselves through the word and humbly reflected on themselves and with the gratitude, seeing them, I was also grateful. I also think about that. In my childhood, nowadays, we use credit cards, but back in the days, we used cash only. When we were running out of there were coins fallen on the streets. When people played around in the playground, they found coins. And we saw coins left on the ground. And my parents taught me that. They taught us to go to the police station and bring the coins to the police officer. But in a situation where it was difficult for us to go to the police station, and actually, when I was young, even with a little coin, we could go and get some snacks. It was a little bit when then my as another option, my parents taught us to put it in the offer to God in the church. If the amount is so small that it was difficult for us to go to the police station, even so, we didn't use it for our private use, but instead we offered it to God. We didn't use another person's belongings. We didn't want to take any other person's belongings at all. My parents taught us that. So I didn't even want to have a desire to take someone else's belongings. And taking someone else's belongings did not give me joy or pleasure. So in your life, you have to check whether you're stealing, or in your relationship with others, and you are quick to tell lies. If you have done so, you have to know that you have a lot of deceitfulness in your heart. If you are lying a lot, and praise God, how could your praise be true or sincere? If you're always telling the truth, you are Father God would accept your praise. So we have to cast off deceitfulness. Only then can we receive answers and blessings quickly. People refer to certain lies as white lies. Sometimes they lie not with an evil intent to harm others, but out of care for others. Out of care for others. For example, when someone asks them around the meal time, when you meet a person or when you meet a friend, they may ask, "Did you eat?" And they answer, "Yes," even though they didn't eat. Why? They don't want another person to worry about them not having eaten anything. But even in that situation, when we are visiting a neighbor's house, and when you are asked, "Did you eat?" Even though you didn't eat, You know, if you say you didn't eat, they would make prepare a meal again. So you don't want to, so you tell white lies and say you have eaten. So you are not seeking your benefits, but seeking the benefits of others. But even in such cases, but you can wisely answer, of course, I didn't eat, but I don't want to have anything, and I will go back and eat my meal at home. You can wisely answer not to cause a hassle. But if you are in the, even though you are seeking others' benefits, it's not okay to, I mean, in the Bible are also such cases, white lies. For instance, when Saul sought to unjustly kill David, people around him often deceived Saul to protect David. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, Jonathan, Saul's son, hit David in the fields but didn't tell Saul the truth. Instead, he said that David has gone to meet his brothers. As Saul was eager to kill David, if he ever got the chance, David's innocent life was at stake. So Jonathan couldn't tell the truth on his part. Though this is not perfect, Jonathan was doing his best to save David in such a perilous situation. When someone tells white lies with good intentions and not for personal gain, God doesn't just condemn them as liars. But if we attain to more perfect goodness, we don't even encounter such situations. God works for us so we can move another person's heart even without telling white lies and evade the trouble. But some people lie for their own benefit and justify it by claiming, I did it out of a good intention. I did it for him. Yet, they cannot deceive God who sees the heart. I encourage you all to cultivate honesty and receive wisdom from above so that you can always speak in virtuous and gracious ways. You should not give an excuse of saying, I did it for him. That's why I told white lies, because I did it for him. It doesn't matter. Then you will end up becoming a liar and being declared a liar. I'm not saying that it's okay, perfectly okay to tell white lies. Of course, there are such cases in the Bible, but I'm just talking about the exceptions. But you shouldn't make use of that examples and justify yourself in making white lies. You have to try to be more truthful in your life. Secondly, adding or omitting words when conveying something also constitutes false witness. This means altering someone else's words based on your own thoughts or feelings and conveying a different message. If the words are distorted negatively and cause misunderstanding, it is a problem. Even though you don't want to distort words negatively, but you end up distorting words negatively because actually, let's say you don't like someone and that person is speaking bad, ill of others, and when, let's say, what, and that's how you end up distorting words negatively. If you hate a person, and when another person, and You cannot bear it. Even, are you telling the truth then? Are you being truthful? You should not say what you shouldn't say. Even though you don't have to deliver that word, you'll deliver that word and estrange a people, alienating between people. And you, without verifying the facts, that's how you end up distorting words. So when you convey someone else's words, it's difficult for you to convey it accurately, but always when you convey the words, you have to make sure whether the word you're trying to obey is beneficial or not. Even when the exact words are conveyed, their meanings can change through tone or emphasis. For example, the phrase, why are you doing that, can be said with a concern or in an angry tone, and the message is delivered differently. You can say, excuse me, or you can say, excuse me. Different. When someone else hears your word, the meaning can be distorted. You have to endure that moment. While it's hard to convey words exactly like a recorder, we must aim to deliver the speaker's intent as accurately as possible. When you deliver someone else's word, when you have to make an announcement, or you have to understand the speaker's intent and deliver the words with a good intention. Even though you can convey something accurately, if it lacks grace, edification, or truth, it should not be spoken. It's important to remember that conveying someone's words in good intentions may still hurt others who hear them and cause division. The Bible says, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I hope you will always speak gracious and virtuous words and be found righteous instead of speaking harmful, divisive, or hurtful words. Thirdly, speaking, judging, and criticizing words against others without knowing their heart also constitutes bearing false witness. When people see or hear another person's actions, expressions, or words, they often judge their heart and intentions based on their own assumptions. They think, he said this because he feels this way. He's acting that way because he clearly has this intention. For example, when a subordinate looks intimidated before his superior, the superior might understand him. He may think, he is holding a grudge against me. He must be upset about me, upset about my advice the other day. When someone with poor eyesight passes by his friend without saying anything, the friend may think he is being ignored or wonder if there are any underlying feelings involved. Similarly, someone might see another person in pain and dismiss them as overreacting. Having had the same disease, he thinks that the person is being dramatic. Even in similar situations, each person has different feelings and thoughts and varied levels of endurance. Even a perceptive person can find it challenging to fully understand another's heart. This is true of even among close friends. Even family members who've lived together for decades may misunderstand one another. People often misunderstand and judge others based on their own standards, which leads to negative feelings and slander. Even when the other person has no such intentions, they firmly believe their judgments are correct, resulting in the spread of untrue statements. Some may even agree with these false statements and join in judging and gossiping about a person. This is a foolish behavior of joining in false witnessing. Those who judge and slander others should recognize that the condemnation they impose often reflects their own shortcomings. As for the men of truth, if they can act maliciously in a specific situation, they assume that others will do the same in the same situation. Because they have deceitful hearts, they suspect that others are deceiving them also. When they watch a scene and have bad thoughts, they judge that others would think the same way. Because they have feelings of contempt, they misinterpret others' actions as ignorance or arrogance. If you have experienced such misunderstandings, you know how painful it can be to be condemned and criticized unjustly. I urge you all not to judge or condemn others based on your own thoughts and standards. If you judge and condemn others and spread that words, this is false witnessing. If you commit judging and condemnation and false witnessing, you pile evil upon evil. You have to fix that. In our thoughts, we commit a sin of judging and condemning others a lot. And rationally judging, we have to fix that habit. You have to ask others' opinions first. We have to ask another person's intention first. And you should not be affected by another person's facial expressions. And of course, it's important to be considerate of others. Then you can ask another person's intention. You have to ask a question. If another person doesn't look happy, you can ask whether he is doing all right. But without even asking, you just judge. He doesn't like me. He's hating me. You misunderstand him and harbor ill feelings. And how? You have to also apply the situation in your... But you have to know whether you are harboring misunderstanding over trivial matters, and you misunderstand that another person is hating you and you are judging him. Think about that. You know that your judging and condemning thoughts are not beneficial, and if you share those words with others, and we should share with those words out of hatred and distort the words negatively, and you end up bearing false witness. Think about that. Even this trivial thing may give us a lot of lessons. Bible says, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." Another verse also states, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged, for in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Those who criticize others must recognize that they may be committing greater evil themselves. Only after they've cast off their own evil can they discern the faults of others. But in fact, when a person has removed all evil from his heart, he no longer focuses on the faults of others. Rather, he wants to see their good aspects. Even when they have faults, he wants to cover them up. The Bible says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." Judging and slandering a brother is a grave evil of becoming like God, who is the ultimate judge. I ask in the name of the Lord never to commit such great evil. It is also important never to use your own reasoning to judge God's word. Even if something seems totally impossible from man's perspective, God is more than able to do it. I ask in our Lord's name that you will all refrain from ever declaring God's words as incorrect simply based on human reasoning. When you don't have enough faith, and you should not judge another person who has stronger faith than you. You cannot judge his actions or behavior or words. When you hear someone else's testimonies, you rejoice and you have it your own faith. But if you judge, look at the worldly people. When they see God's works, they ignore it. They just dismiss it as lies and they don't believe that. That's why it's difficult for them to meet God or experience God's works. What about you? While you live a Christian life, you shouldn't judge God's words according to your thoughts. You shouldn't build a wall of sin because of that. People often tell small lies even when they have no malicious intent. They may exaggerate or downplay facts based on their own perceptions. If someone says that they ate a lot, another might convey it as if they had eaten everything. If someone mentions that there is a little left, it might be taken as if there's nothing left. Let's say you are having a meal and your favorite side dishes are gone and you don't feel happy about that. And you say, that side dishes are, they ate everything. Let's say you are making appointments with your friends and another person tells you, I'm almost there. And people quickly tell lies like that in pursuit of their benefits. When I go hiking and when I see climbers coming up and some people ask, how long is it from here to the summit? And then I try to say exactly the distance, but people quickly tell lies and they reveal dishonesty. Or this may happen even in the church, among relationship with your cell members or group members. There are sometimes when a few people express the same opinion, others may report it as if everyone agreed. And you're not happy about this issue, and another person is happy, and if you find one or just two or three person who is not happy about the opinion, you say, everyone doesn't like that plan. This is your language habit. Lies are ingrained in your language habits. Additionally, when relaying someone else's words, people may grossly distort the message according to their own thoughts. While having a meal with a few people, the shepherd once said that the food on the table was modest. He wasn't referring to the number of the side dishes, but to the amount of food contained on each dish. With many people eating together at the time, it would have been better if each side dish had a larger amount of food in it. But hearing this, someone else reported that the shepherd said that there was no meat on the table. The words, "the table was modest," was interpreted as, "there's no meat." So, while the person conveyed the wrong message, he didn't realize it. So, they just believe what they hear, and they would misunderstand it that the shepherd always wants meat. People wrongfully they report the fact, adding their own thoughts, thereby telling lies. Especially when you convey your boss's intention or words, you have to be cautious. This may seem trivial. This is not purposely lying with a malicious intent of harming others. Neither is this judging someone viciously. Even so, if you find yourself with such deceitfulness of adding or omitting words, you need to figure out a more fundamental reason. A person whose heart is filled with the truth does not exaggerate or downplay a fact. Even if someone desires to hear more and he doesn't have much to say, but and if someone pretends if she knows my preferences well, she what is the reason? People want to show off that they have a lot of knowledge. They have, when someone asks the question, they want to give an answer. They feel obliged to give an answer. If they don't know, they just honestly say that, "I don't need an answer." They don't. They pretend to know something. They want to show off their knowledge. You have to accept the fact as is and deliver it accurately. Therefore, if your words lack sincerity, even in trivial matters, it indicates that your heart is not filled with truth and still contains falsehood. Those who have not fully uprooted falsehood are likely to resort to harmful lies in urgent situations. I hope you will be mindful of even trivial attributes of falsehood, but thoroughly remove them as you discover them, using this process as an opportunity for complete transformation. Let me conclude a message. Today, we looked at the ninth commandment, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In addition to what people generally consider to be lies, adding or omitting words and judging others' intentions and condemning and criticizing them all constitute bearing false witness. As children of God who is light, we need to strive for a pure heart that has nothing to do with deceitfulness, even in trivial matters. Psalm chapter 84 verse 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk unrightly." I pray in the name of the Lord that God will illuminate your path, protect you in every trouble, and generously provide all good things as you live with integrity.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met an experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.